This morning, we're going to do something a bit different. You might say this is a unique lesson, and that we're going to talk about something that many might be surprised that the Bible has something to say about, and that is dinosaurs. Dinosaurs have always been very fascinating to me. Growing up through the years, especially as a young lad, I loved dinosaurs. There's just something exciting about them. You take a dinosaur like the Tyrannosaurus Rex. I mean, just the hips alone of that creature are 13 feet from the ground. Some of you are much taller than I, maybe 6.5 feet. Could you imagine double their size? That's the hips of this creature. He would be around 40 foot or longer in length. His skull by itself was about 5 feet in length. His jaws had the ability to chomp down with a force of some 4,000 pounds of power, more than the alligator. Some recent studies I just noticed this week have suggested it might have been closer to 5,000. He could eat enough meat to chomp down in one bite and take out two of these pews worth of people. This was an incredible creature. Now, you know, a lot of these animals, you think about the largest of all, we would call it the Brontosaurus. Come to find out, many of you may know this already, but the Brontosaurus never existed. That was a mishap. They took the head of one fossil and then the body of another and put it together, and come to find out they didn't belong together. But Brontosaurus was such a popular name that it just stuck. But the long-necked creature that you think of is actually the Apatosaurus. And so as I reference the Apatosaurus later, you'll think of that long-necked Brontosaurus as it's most often called. But he was around 40 tons in weight. The T-Rex, by the way, would have been about 8 tons in comparison. Huge, incredibly large creatures. Just fascinating. But here's the problem with dinosaurs and why we need to do a sermon on it this morning. The question, and the main one we're going to address, is did men ever see a living dinosaur? Because the answer to that question has been the crux of why so many of our young people have been pulling away from the Lord's body. If you talk to groups like Apologetics Press, a great group of men who are working together, and ladies too, that have a great online resource, several books, they'll tell you that one of the most common emails that they get and questions about Christian evidences is dinosaurs. Because young people are concerned about the fact that the Bible claims that men once walked with dinosaurs. We'll note that in a moment. However, their science books, their library books are telling them that men and dinosaurs never had anything to do with each other. In fact, they would say they were separated by over 60 million years. If you believe that, listen to me now, especially you young people, if you believe that man never saw a living dinosaur, then you don't believe that this is the inspired Word of God. You're going to have a problem with the first few chapters of this book. And if you have an issue with that, then the rest of this book is no good either. Right? If there's anything in this holy word that is not true, that's unbiblical, that contradicts itself, that's not accurate in any sense of the word, it's not going to be legitimate. And so young people throw out the Bible, they're not interested anymore, and they walk away from the faith just because their teachers have convinced them that men never saw a living dinosaur. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. If you were an evolutionist, if you wanted the young people to get more than anything else in their minds that the earth is billions of years old and that dinosaurs never walked with humans, where would you put that in your dinosaur books? Where would you put that in the science books? Would you put it in the middle? Probably not. The information you wanted to get across more than any other at the front of that book, because you know that the kids, they'll open up that book, and adults as well, and they may read the first page, maybe not the whole book, but they'll kind of check and see what's going on. This is an example of the first page of one of these books that's in the library. Age of the Dinosaurs. Notice here, he says, Earth has an incredibly long history this is reversed, I'm going to have to turn anyway. It's backwards on me, mirror image. Earth has an incredibly long history as it formed about 4.6 billion years ago. This is, you've got table of contents and such, but this is the first page of the book itself, reading. Geologists divide the passage of time since into eras. Dinosaurs lived in the Mesozoic era. Then you get this on the next page. He talks about the different periods, the Cretaceous period, and notes that that's when dinosaurs came about, right in here, the Cretaceous. However, if you notice this little blurb, humans right here, human beings, Homo sapiens, didn't appear until very recently in Earth's history. Basically, what they're saying is 65 million years ago, you had the end of the dinosaurs, and about 3 million years ago, humans came into existence. Page 1, page 2, what do they want to get across is that man and dinosaurs never lived together. And again, if you believe that, if you're lured into this, you're going to have issues with the Bible, particularly the first couple of chapters. Growing up, I don't know it. I don't ever eat oatmeal anymore. I don't even know if they still sell this in the stores. But growing up, my grandmother, he was very good too, would make oatmeal and cream of wheat for me all the time. I loved it. She would, and she was good enough to put all kinds of butter and goodness in there, so you didn't really know that's what you were eating, right? It was so good. But they had these individual packs that you could buy, and they would say things like this at the very bottom of the pack. Let me zoom in here so you can hopefully see this a little better. Were dinosaurs and humans around at the same time? Answer, no. The last dinosaur and the first human missed each other by about 60 million years. Of all the things they could put on this oatmeal to get your young people to see, that's what they want them to read. Why? Right? You're starting to get the idea. What about Wendy's? I've seen these. It's not even been that long since the last one of these I saw. You get the Wendy's kids meal, and used to, I don't know if they still do this, but used to they would put them in like almost a cardboard box that had all kinds of games and mazes you could go through and that sort of thing. Well, this was, I couldn't get a picture of it, but this was one of the facts on there. A lot of times Wendy's has done dinosaurs. One of them said this, fact, new findings show that birds are probably related to dinosaurs. Scientists in China have discovered two fossils of feathered dinosaurs. All right, here's what they're getting at now. Not only do they want the young people, and all of us for that matter, to believe that men and dinosaurs never saw each other, but also the fact that dinosaurs evolved into birds. All right, first of all, you notice this word right here, fact. If you're going to give us a fact, give us a fact. New findings show that birds are probably related to dinosaurs, right? But kids, they don't notice that. They miss that, and so they see fact. Birds and dinosaurs are related. Well, they did. They found these fossils that they claim were the link, to show that, as they always claim these missing links, right? To show that dinosaurs evolved into birds. And when you ask them, and you can look up these pictures online, but when you ask them, how do you know that dinosaurs evolved into birds? They say, well, there's these fossils right here that have these long filaments in them that look like feathers. And so you ask them, well, how do you know that those long filament-like marks there are feathers? And they say, well, because dinosaurs evolved into birds. Right? It's circular reasoning. Dinosaurs evolved into birds because of this fossil. How do you know that fossil's a bird? Because dinosaurs evolved into birds. Right? That doesn't work. That's not evidence. That's not. And of course, the more they study these things, they realize that that's not at all what's going on. But nonetheless, fact, kids, dinosaurs evolved into birds. Now, why is this an issue? And by the way, they draw these pictures like this. They put them in these books for these young people to see. And here it is. That's what this creature looked like. All right, here's the problem. If our young people begin to believe, teenagers, college students, young adults, you name it, if they begin to believe that dinosaurs evolved into birds, you've got another problem. Go through the days of creation with me for just a moment. Right? Day one, God made light. Day two, He made the skies, the heavens. Day three, the flowers, grass, and trees. Day four, sun, moon, and stars. Day five, God made birds and fish. Day six, what came about? Well, man did, but what else? Land animals. Do you see the problem? According to creation, the account, the way it did happen, God's way, God created the birds before He created land animals. So again, you've got a problem when young people begin to believe that dinosaurs, land animals, evolved into birds. You've got major problems with the book of Genesis. Are you getting to see why this is such a big issue? So we've got to answer the question, and we need to try to prove that man did once live with dinosaurs. Philip Kitcher, who is a fairly renowned atheist, talked about the fact that if creationists could really prove that men and dinosaurs once coexisted, we would shake the foundations of evolutionary theory. It's so much is based on the fact that dinosaurs and humans had nothing to do with each other. The timeline of the earth, the evolutionary chain, the theory, it all goes to shambles if we can prove that men and dinosaurs walked together. Well, let's talk about it. There's some evidences, and we're going to go to the Bible in a moment. I will never preach a lesson that we don't. But I want to start with some evidences that God gave us just around us that we can go and look at. Today there is a place, and by the way, have any of you ever been to Natural Bridges National Monument in Utah? Anyone ever been there? No? Okay. Someone has. You can go see this for yourself, of course, but I haven't personally been there. I would love to see this. But we do have some images for you so that you can. This particular location has three major bridges there and some incredible scenery, things that you can view. And again, I encourage you to check this out for yourself. This particular bridge, this is the bottom of it here, is called Kachina Bridge. And at the bottom of Kachina Bridge is some very interesting petroglyphs. They're drawings that were drawn by the Anasazi Indians, dating back as early as 700 A.D. up until about 1200 A.D. All right, we're talking about probably over 1,000 years ago. These drawings were written, they were drawn. Where you see that yellow circle is a drawing that has posed a lot of controversy. As we zoom into this, this is going to be difficult to see, but I'm going to make it, and I'm glad we have this projector. I wouldn't have done this lesson without it. Hopefully you'll be able to see this. When you zoom in, this is what you see. Now, I know you can't see this yet, but I'm going to bring it out for you. There's a lot of different animals and things that are drawn here. Now, I did the best I could, so bear with me here, but to kind of outline this for you, and I'm going to fade it in and then fade it out because I want you to see exactly where it is so that your eyes can see it. In the middle of these drawings is this. It's not quite that bright, obviously, but I'm going to fade it back out so you can look at it. Hopefully you can see it there. But that is something that has posed a lot of questions. What in the world is this creature that they drew? Now, it's interesting to me. There is, when you go to the place and you talk to the ladies, this is on Apologetics Press website, by the way. Some of those guys went out there and they were talking about how they asked the lady at the desk, what do you say about this creature that's on the Kachina Bridge down there? What do people say about that? And she said, well, people don't like to talk about that because there's a lot of people who like to think that that's a dinosaur, but she said, they're crazy. They're crazy. She said, this is probably just a monster they drew. And he said, well, what do most people think that this is? And she said, well, most people say that that is a horse. I didn't grow up around horses. Many of you did. But I don't think I've ever seen a horse that looked like that. Not a normal one anyways. That's not a horse. It's interesting, and I'll show you another photo here. The man and dino, you can find these online. Right up a little to the left of it, northwest of it, is a picture of a man right beside that dinosaur. And there are lots of these throughout the world that you can see, and the creatures that look like nothing except the dinosaurs that we've put together based upon these fossils. If that's not enough evidence, 40 miles from Kachina Bridge, what would bring more evidence to this to make this even more realistic is if we could find a Potosaurus, that's the long-necked creature that I believe is that drawing, if we could find fossils of him in that area. Well, it just so happened, about 40 miles from this location, there is a museum in Blanding, Utah. And you can go to this museum, and in that museum, it's built over where they found two Apatosaurus hip bone fossils right there in that location, just 40 miles from these drawings. Is it possible these Anasazi Indians saw this? Now, someone says, well, these drawings were probably manipulated. They're fake. They're not real. They weren't really drawn 1,000 years ago. Here's a professional in this regard, Dennis Slifer. I'm going to have to read this one as well. He says this, and this is what he does. He studies ancient petroglyphs, pictographs, those kinds of things. At the base of Kachina Bridge are approximately 100 elements, both petroglyphs and pictographs, dating from AD 700 to 1250. These include a series of red handprints, a large red butterfly-like figure, spirals, bighorn sheep, here's all these animals, snake-like meandering lines, and a white pictograph of a chain-like design, and some geometric petroglyphs. One of the most curious designs is a petroglyph that resembles a dinosaur, which is apparently Anasazi origin based on its patination. All right, in other words, he's gone in and he's researched this and studied it, and he is telling us that its patination is legitimate. Basically, from what I'm learning on this, is over time the dust as it comes upon these rocks and enough time has to pass for it to change to this white filmy look that it has. He says, you can't fake that. That's not fakeable. That nobody went in and edited this. This is legitimately Anasazi origin. It was written over 1,000 years ago, and this is what they drew. Right? Nobody came in and manipulated this. This particular individual would say it's very legitimate. Let me give you another example. In Cambodia, and there were several of these temples that were have been torn down, but there's a few that you can still go and see in person even today, and this is one of them. It's called Ta Prohm Temple. If you notice that red arrow, there is a column there of some animals that were engraved into the stone. The one you see there highlighted in red has been also of particular interest to many who have come by. This is the picture that you see. Now, here you go again. What in the world is this animal? Here's what they'll tell you. This is, and I've seen two primary decisions on this. This is a wild, well really I guess they're both really similar, but more or less they say it's a wild hog with bushes in the background. Okay. What, if you put, well, let me just ask you this. What if, when the first thing you thought of when you saw that creature, based on what we know, what would you think that was? Everybody in here would probably say Stegosaurus, the creature we know as the Stegosaurus. Some says, well, you know, its tail doesn't have spikes on it, so that can't be a Stegosaurus. Some have argued that. Keep in mind that, again, today in this generation, we've never seen a live dinosaur. Our generation has not. And therefore, we're constantly discovering how these creatures would have looked, right? Is it possible that we don't know everything there is to know about these creatures? Absolutely. Is it possible that they weren't the most professional drawers and designers? And, you know, I guess somebody wanted them to do something like this in the artwork. Then they'd say, that's Stegosaurus, right? We don't know exactly what they looked like. But let's take this little guy for example. If you put 1,000 children, 1,000 kiddos, elementary school, in a classroom, and you put up this weird-looking thing in the room, and you ask every single one of them, what does that look like? What would every one of them say? They'd say, Stegosaurus. They'd say, that looks like a Stegosaurus. Right? You don't have to have a professional drawer to come in and do this in order to realize that you know, now, if I drew it, you probably wouldn't know what it was. But these guys got fairly close, I think. Again, why are there so many of these drawings and examples that seem to give credence to this idea that they saw these creatures? Remember, these fossils weren't discovered, we'll note in a moment, until the 1800s. They had no idea that these animals existed. And even if they had found a fossil, that's not recorded that they did, even if they did, they had not obviously put them together and depicted what they looked like as to draw it like this. The Grand Canyon. I have been here before, and many of you probably have. Another drawing here at the Grand Canyon that has been put in there. Again, it doesn't look like anything we know of except dinosaurs and what they might have looked like. Let's go to the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 is where we'll go. Genesis chapter 1. Here's the question that comes up. Here's the arguments. Well, there's evidences in the world and evidence in the Bible, we'll note in just a moment, that men did once walk with dinosaurs. But how could man survive? That's the question. Wouldn't the dinosaurs have just wiped everybody out? First of all, keep in mind that these huge dinosaurs that we see were the minority. I mean, they're what's exciting to us, but the fact is the majority of these dinosaurs would have been much smaller reptiles. You know, the T-Rex, the Apatosaurus, these larger ones were not, you know, the majority of the dinosaurs. But they're the ones we get excited about. They're the ones we think about. And so what about the raptor? What about the Tyrannosaurus? What about Triceratops and Stegosaurus? Wouldn't they have just killed, you know, everybody? Well, again, also keep in mind, a lot of them would have been vegetarians, but T-Rex is probably the most common one used. If you encountered a T-Rex, wouldn't he just chomp down and that's it? It's all over with? Genesis chapter 1, you probably know where we're going with this. Genesis chapter 1, if you're there with me, let's read it together. Verse 26, you know these passages. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. All right? God's created man. He's created these animals as well. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, notice, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, if we are to have dominion, and of course he references putting the fear in these animals as well, we have dominion over these animals. We are, in other words, superior to them. Right? If, you know, sometimes you hear on the news that there has been a shark attack, or that someone was playing with the lions and at the zoo and the lion chomped on him and injured him greatly or took his life. There are times that accidents happen and that animals kill humans. I have a little doubt in my mind that I'm sure there were some accidents that happened with dinosaurs. But in general, God has given us dominion over these animals. And they're scared. It doesn't matter how large they are. They fear us. They respect us. And we can control them, have dominion over them. It is fascinating. What is today? Let's make some comparisons. Today, what is the largest land animal living today? The elephant. The elephant is the largest and weighs up to some 6.5 tons. A little smaller than the T-Rex. I'm going to give you a bigger one in a moment. But let's start here with the elephant. The elephant is massive. Let's say elephants were extinct, and we were to find the fossils of elephants laying around, and we put that thing together and looked at it, would we not think, wow, this elephant could easily crush us? He could easily destroy us. And sometimes accidents happen. But for the most part, you go to a circus, and what do you see? Is the elephant controlling the human? No, the humans aren't having dominion over these massive, huge creatures. 13,000 pounds, and we're telling them what to do. We can hold a peanut up if they've been trained, and they'll sit or perform. I'll never forget, Amber and I had the privilege of going to the Knoxville Zoo back when they did these elephant encounters. And we did this. I love elephants. So we did an elephant encounter. We walked in to these huge creatures. One of them, I think they said the 8th largest in the world that they had. We didn't get up close to him, but the others that were there, we did. Huge creatures. And they started, they told the elephants to greet us. And apparently elephants, thankfully not like a dog, elephants greet you by sniffing of your feet. They put their trunk down and they sniff your foot. That's just how they say hello. And then they commenced to telling them all these different things and poses to do. And if that wasn't enough, the lady asked for a volunteer, and my silly self raised my hand, not knowing what was coming. And I stood out, and she handed the elephant a football. He stepped back from me. We were probably from here to just about the door back there. The elephant had the football in his trunk, maybe not that far, a little closer. And she told him, I forgot what she said, hup or something like that. And he threw that football from there to me. She then commenced to give him a soccer ball and told him to kick it. And he kicked the soccer ball to each of them. There were about 6 of us doing this. And she had complete dominion over this animal. Why? Because God designed it that way. The elephants weren't crushing those people. They weren't attacking them or killing them. They were in complete submission to their owners. Let me keep moving here. The largest animal to have ever lived is still alive even this day. There's not many of them. But it's still alive. The Apatosaurus, remember, was 40 tons in size. This creature, the blue whale, is 180 and upwards of 200 tons in weight. The largest animal to ever live. Now, they're still here, but let's say you came across that fossil, right? One of those things come upon the shore and you dug up that. Could you imagine? Right, it's in the water. Well, I get that, but here's the point. What do you know about the blue whale? There used to be 200,000 blue whales, they estimate, in the world. Today, based on the information I recently read this week, they've dropped that number down to about 2,000. 200,000 to 2,000. They're on the endangered list and don't know how much longer we'll have them. Why? Because they have a predator. Now, who in the world could possibly be a predator and kill all of these thousands upon thousands of blue whales? What could they possibly be scared of that could take their life? You know the answer. Man. We have dominion over them. We've been hunting. I say we. I'm speaking in general for mankind. Man has hunted these creatures and killed them because of their blubber that can turn into whale oil, even cooking oils, all kinds of the meat. They've hunted them and they've killed them and almost caused them to be extinct. It doesn't matter if he's 200 tons. It doesn't matter if he's not even a ton. We have dominion over these animals. And as a general rule, with a few exceptions, as a general rule, they always fear us. They run from us even though they're hundreds of times our size, like this blue whale. Men would not have been wiped out because of God's design. Why aren't dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Okay, now, you don't see the word dinosaur in the Bible, and that's very true, and there's a good reason for that. The term dinosaur is an English term that wasn't coined until the 1800s. In 1822, I believe it was, 1822, this French archaeologist was out. I forget his name now, it left me, but he was out doing some digging, and he came across a tooth that looked just like an iguana tooth, but it was 10 times larger. And so he called it Iguanodon, orthodontist tooth, iguana, iguanodon, iguana tooth. And so that was the name. Well, a few years later, in about 1841, the English term was coined that you know of as dinosaur. Dinosaur. Why is dinosaur not in the Bible? Because the King James Version, for example, was written a couple hundred years before this English term even came to be. And so in the newer versions, it's interesting, no matter how modern it is, they all just kind of follow the King James Version and call these creatures a name that we don't commonly use. Let's go to Job, the book of Job, and see some examples. Job chapter 40. I would submit we can be pretty confident, very confident in fact, that the Bible does discuss these dinosaurs, but they're not called dinosaurs. For time's sake, we'll only be able to look at one. There is another example, but we'll talk about that more at another time, Lord willing. Our time is almost up. Job 40. Let's make a few notes of this, and the lesson will be yours. Look at verse 15. We're going to talk about a creature called Behemoth. You've probably heard of. Job 40 and verse 15. As we're reading through this, I want you to pay attention to the details about this creature and think to yourself what creature this best describes. Behold now Behemoth, which I had made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Now keep in mind, God is telling Job, look at this powerful, the most powerful creature I've ever created, basically. He's saying, look at this guy and what he can do. And let me describe to you my power. Who are you to question me, Job? Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. His strength is in his loins, and the force is in the navel of his belly. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. Notice he is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food where all the beasts of the field play. Look at the size of these things. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. The trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. Now when you read through these details about this creature, you think about what creature could this possibly be referencing? The most common conclusions by those, of course, who do not believe in the Word of God and the fact that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and maybe even some that do, but for the most part, the conclusion is that this was either an elephant or a hippopotamus. Elephant or hippopotamus. Now, in a lot of the details here, and keep in mind that a lot of this is symbolic, sure, I don't have a problem with that, but think about the details, you know, the strength of his loins and drinking up the water, and I guess that could apply. But there's a couple of things, and I'm only have time to show you one, but in particular that stand out, that this description does not fit whatsoever. I want you to look at these two creatures for a moment. You say, that's a pretty picture. Well, what do you notice about the tail described in Job 40? His tail moves like a cedar. Now, as you go through the Bible and look at the description, the way God uses cedars, a lot he uses cedars in the Old Testament especially, to represent the strength of something, the size. The armies were like the cedars of Lebanon. He talks about the power and the size. Now, you tell me, what about those is like a cedar? Their tails are not like cedar trees. I find it very hard to believe that this is a description of an elephant or a hippopotamus. The one animal it does fit in every aspect is this one, the Apatosaurus. That tail is like a cedar tree. That's a big tail. All right? Our time is up. Let me just conclude with this final thought. We got to ask this question, right? How did dinosaurs die? You know, people obviously want to know, as do I. How in the world, if dinosaurs were still being seen in possibly as late as 1200 AD, how do we how did they die? What happened, right? Many say that the asteroids came and hit the Earth and they couldn't survive. Well, there's a lot of theories that I don't have time to get into, but keep in mind that the way these dinosaur fossils are found is very interesting. This is the artist that did this, I forget his name, but he depicted it this way. More and more are coming to the conclusion, these are scientists and many of them atheists, coming to the conclusion that these dinosaurs, most of them, were buried alive. And the reason they've decided that is because they're finding these fossils being straight up and being almost completely put together. Some of them 70 or 80% complete, looking like they were just walking along and all of a sudden they were buried alive. What could possibly explain that occurrence? Well, they've come to decide that there was some kind of large flood. Now, they're not going to say it was the Noahic flood. They're not saying that at all. But they're saying a large flood must have caused this. You and I know exactly what the answer to that would be. The flood that covered the whole world. Of course they would have been buried very quickly up to that point. Still, however, when Noah got off the ark, the earth had changed. Yes, the water canopy around it was gone, and man's life began to depreciate, all of those things. But there were still dinosaurs up until 1200 AD, apparently, or nearly that far. What about them? Well, it seems to reason that just like other animals, like, I can't think of a better example than the dodo bird, something like that. Some of these other animals that were once here and just eventually died out. Maybe they were hunted by many of these early people. Maybe they took their lives. I imagine that would have been quite an exciting sport for them. It always has been for man to kill the largest animal they can. Maybe it was because some would suggest that it's because the earth had changed so much and they eventually just died out. Some of these were very large. Some of them, though, were much smaller. But whatever the reason, we may not can come to a conclusive answer as to how they died out. But there are plenty of evidences, biblically and in this world, to see that they were here at the same time that men were. Men walked with dinosaurs. And if you don't believe anything else that I've showed you of these pictures in the world, believe the Bible. Because God said it, and I believe it with all my heart. And I know the fact that you're here this morning, chances are you believe what the good book says as well. But there's plenty of evidences, even outside of that, to come to that conclusion. Friends, we didn't talk about this morning what to do in order to become a Christian. This was a very unique study. However, we certainly don't want to deprive you of the opportunity, as you have it at this very moment, to obey the gospel if the need be. What does that mean? Well, it means to do what God tells us in order to become a Christian. By His grace, by His love, by His mercy, He's given us a plan. And that plan is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8 and verse 24. His plan is for us to repent of sin. You can't continue in sin and expect His grace to continue to be with you. Romans 6 and verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We've got to repent. That turning away, I'm not going to live in willful sin anymore. I'm going to devote my life to Jesus Christ. Luke 13 and verse 3. Part of that plan is also a willingness to confess, to say with your mouth before men for the rest of your life that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then to be buried in that watery grave of baptism. And that's the point that the Bible says, that you are buried with Christ and you're raised just like He was, Romans 6, a new creature. And it's at that point that the blood of Jesus washes away your sins. I mean, think about it. When did the blood of Jesus, when was it shed? Well, it was shed at His death. And you're buried into that death at baptism. And it's for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, Acts 22 and verse 16, and for your salvation, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. If you've never done that, we would love to assist you this morning. If you have some questions, would like to study it further, we'd be happy to do that as well. Maybe you are a child of God, though, and you've let sin come back into your life. Maybe your faith has wavered for topics such as this. Maybe there's some sin that's haunting you that you're struggling to get rid of. Confess that sin. Repent of it before it's too late. There's no temptation, no sin that's so strong that you can't turn away from it with the help of God. You can't do it alone. We need Him. But you've got to confess that sin and turn away from it. James 5 and verse 16. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in any way, won't you come? We love you right now as we stand and sing together.